Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich, and your phone calls today at New Life. Glad you're with us today.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Jill is the, or doctor, is the author of The Secrets Women Keep and The Secrets Young Women Keep. Always love getting to be with you on the program, as well as Mylon Yurkovich. And good to have you.
Great to be here.
Today. Now, I want to talk to you about something that's been in the news over the past year. Lindsay Lohan, because I heard somebody talking about this, and I finally said yes. You know, the old arm pump, and it was this problem that developed was in large part generated by no one around her saying no. Mm. And he said this, which I've said many times or thought many times: it wasn't what killed Elvis Presley; it was who. Who let this guy take these kinds of drugs and do the kinds of things that he did. And so, now why am I talking about this? Well, in the case of Michael Jackson, he had people around him that watched him die. I mean, the guy was taking medication to sleep that you use for surgery. And so you've got Elvis, you've got Michael Jackson, you've got Lindsay Lohan, people that we know about, and they're obvious examples of people that continued in their problem, and folks watched it happen. Now, so you take that extreme and you apply it to your life. You may be someone doing very similar things with someone in your life, enabling them to continue in the problem rather than say, okay, enough is enough and make the bold move.
We're afraid to speak, you know,
yes.
And in erring on the side of caution, we actually allow things to occur on the other side by being absent from opinion and void of some sort of a confrontation. So that's why all these shows are on TV now with the intervention and these massive interventions that people are doing. And you know what? We have to speak and tell people, not be a yes man.
Truth in love.
Well, yes, and when you don't say no to people, they start to feel entitled.
Yeah.
And that they deserve to do all and to have all, because nobody ever says no.
And it's kind of a reinforcing what they're doing and training them that this doesn't really matter all that much to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of the king has no clothes. Nobody will really say until it's the kid out on the street that goes, hey, the king doesn't have any clothes on. And, you know, what are you doing? And that somebody comes to their senses.
Yeah. So don't wait for your children, and it is the way a lot of people get well, is nobody will say anything, and then their child will say, Daddy, I don't want you to be drunk anymore, or something like that. All right, so our point is this. Don't be an enabler. Don't be an instigator or an enabler, and if you need some help in that area, we want to help you. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's what we're here for, and I think you can find a life of security and growth and maturity, saying the truth in love rather than, well, maybe, you know, it'd be good to ask yourself, what am I avoiding right now? What truth or reality am I avoiding? What do I need to be addressing? And I need to stop avoiding it. And you may find that that's a conversation with someone about how concerned you are that nothing you've tried so far has been working. We'll help you do that if you'll call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have a lot of resources online, but they won't be there if we can't get support from you. And I'll send you this Best of Dr. Amen CD if you support us, a gift of any amount. But also, if you will join Club New Life, it will change this ministry, and we'll, to say thank you, we'll send you Conquer Worry and Anxiety by Dr. Amen, Growth Has No Boundaries by Cloud Townsend, Emotional Freedom Workbook,
Change your thoughts, change your life. Forgiving what you'll never forget. Healing is a choice. And take your life back. All of that coming your way is our way of saying thank you.
We'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll go to the phones after this. Stay tuned.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Let's go to the phones. And right now, why don't we talk with, let's talk to Jay. Hi, Jay. Welcome to New Life, listening on KKLA out of Los Angeles there. Hi, welcome to New Life.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm calling with great concern for my 20-year-old son. I'm a divorced mom, and I know that when he first was able to gain access to pornography on the computer at age 11, he still deals with a lot of pornography. He does live with me, and I want him to go to the Every Man's Battle weekend.
Yeah, okay.
But I was wondering, is there anything with, like, families, mothers and sons, for that support where we could both go? I know sounds like the husbands and wives have something, but is there anything for mothers and sons?
Well, after he goes to Every Man's Battle, the two of you could come to the New Life Weekend, and you wouldn't be in the same group, but you would be experiencing it together.
Okay.
Because there are sessions, lecture sessions, and then he would go into a group with men, same problem, or he might address the anger that's... I assume he is an angry young man.
Well, you know, I know he's holding a lot in,
mm-hmm.
and I do know that there's some anger, and there's a lot of hurt,
yeah.
a lot of pain.
Where's the hurt and pain come from?
From the divorce and the just abandonment from Dad.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that have transpired from the age of 14 and 18.
Yeah.
Between he's really experienced tremendous loss, and he cried a lot, and his dad would trick him a lot, and there was just a lot of bad things going on between his dad and I.
What's he doing now? Is he going to school or?
Well, he's working full time, and I pray that he continues to work. He tried school, but he wasn't really ready,
okay.
and he didn't have the foundation that he needed. He didn't really apply himself in school.
Well, he's working full time. We rarely hear of a 20-year-old living at home working full time. That's a good sign that you've done some good work there. Mylon, Jill, anything you want to address here?
Well, Jay, so you're calling for your son. Is he wanting to get help, willing to get help? Does he see this problem?
He's still receptive to me. At this point, I want to get into some family counseling. I want him to get healed and whole before he starts a relationship and has children.
Good.
And then takes that brokenness there. You know
right.
what I mean?
Jay, which is a wonderful desire. So you're saying, though, he is open to getting help?
Well, he hasn't really, he used to go to church with me all the time, and he does love church, but he's starting now to experiment with drugs, so I see it getting worse. He's starting to not be as reliable and not be, connecting with our church family.
Okay, so Jay?
Not going, yeah.
One
so
of the
I'm just seeing it getting worse.
Yeah, so good that you are concerned and you're wanting to intervene. When you were asking about groups, I think also for you, just like there's Al-Anon out there, there are support groups for parents of kids that are parents of people, kids who are involved in this, like Sex-Anon, things like that. So that's also for spouses, but families can also get involved. That would be important for you so that you can clearly see where you can be helpful and where you're not helpful. But I would definitely do what you could to push him towards going to EMB, and also then trying to let him know that you can't be everything for him, and that you are aware of the ways in which you have failed him, to kind of own your part, that you couldn't be both the mom and the dad, and that, you realize that he's probably angry as a result of that. So, you know, and wanting to hear his hurt, that's certainly a role that you could play.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, I really want some kind of help with
okay,
it,
Jay.
Like family counseling or something.
Jay, I think you're right on the family counseling thing. If you could get him to go into a counselor with you. Because, you know, I've known other 11-year-olds that come home to an empty home or a divorced home where they're unsettled, and they turn to the computer or a chat room, and they turn to places for companionship. And at 11, they're not necessarily seeking that. They get sucked and trapped into something inadvertently because there's an emotional void. So what I'd highly recommend that you do is get him into not just recovery groups, but groups where people, where he's learning to share his emotions, learning to access and tap into self-awareness. What am I feeling right now? Because it's only when you can tell what you're feeling that then you can ask for what you need. And I would suggest that he consider getting into a men's support group, a men's therapy group, and not just focused on the addictive points. Rather, that plus just emotional connection with other men, where you have a facilitator, therapist, leader who really knows how to help men tap and access their emotions.
And I think the important thing is that you do things now so you don't have a 40-year-old sex addict living at home.
Mm-hmm.
And we see...
Still experimenting with drugs.
Right. We see people that happening a lot. And so you want to step out, and sometimes if you've been through divorce, you feel guilty, and you try to compensate, and it just becomes a symbiotic relationship that doesn't move anywhere. All right, I tell you, I'm going to send you a copy of Regret-Free Living. I hope that will help you. I'll send you The Secrets Women Keep, and hopefully that'll give you some insight into what you're dealing with in your own heart. And anybody else can get those at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's talk with Debbie from Los Angeles, also KKLA. Hello, Debbie.
Hi, thank you.
Sure, what's going on?
My husband left 4 or 5 years ago. I'm a divorce. I have 3 children, and my 2 oldest children are adults now, young adults, and they have decided that they are no longer going to see their dad for holidays or visitation of any kind because he has provided no support for them, among other things. And
okay.
So my question is the younger child does still see the dad every other weekend for a couple hours and maybe once during the week for an hour. And I don't know if it's okay to just let the older ones, I mean, they're adults, they should make their own decisions, but should I just let that be, or should I continue to try to encourage them to find a relationship at some level with their dad?
Well, now, are you talking with them about the hurt that they've experienced?
Yes. They were not very close to him when he was at the house. He was verbally abusive and very controlling and manipulative, and he still is.
Do they know that you know that?
Excuse me?
Do they know that you know that?
Yeah.
You've talked to them about that?
Yeah. Okay. I talked to them about that when we were together. There were times when they would say, you know, why do we have to have him live here? Why can't you make him leave?
Mm-hmm. And your answer to that was what?
Well, my answer to that was that one, that they don't understand the depth of a marriage and the commitment that you make, and that we've been together over 20 years, and that he is not acting as responsibly as he could, but that he does love them, and he is there, and he is providing, and we need to support him through this difficult time, and that there are times when people are 50 years old and they look back and say, you know, there were 10 years when we hated each other, but now we're happy.
Well, you know, I think you're fortunate because a lot of times the kids are more angry at the person who allowed the bad guy to live at home than they are the bad guy. So if you've got some kind of relationship with them, I think you sure want to build on that and make it as strong as you possibly can versus, well, if you're not going to have a relationship with your abusive, absent, inconsiderate father, then I'm not going to have one with you either.
I just can't.
No, I never ever said that I would not be right. in their lives.
Well, I was using
in their lives. I intend to continue to do that.
Okay, I was just taking the extreme of an option that some people might think.
Debbie, I can't really buy that this is just a bad 10 years. I doubt that your husband was much of a connector when you married him.
Well, I have come to believe that that's true, too.
Okay, now, another thing you said that was just very intriguing to me is, mm-hmm. how old is your youngest child?
15.
And electively, your husband only spends 2 hours every other weekend with them and maybe 1 hour a week.
He would see the younger child more. But the younger child is not willing to spend more time than that with him.
Okay, now there's your answer. You see, your kids are being smart, and your husband is suffering the natural consequences of not being a nice guy. This is the law of the harvest that God talks about. You reap what you sow. So if your kids don't want to hang out with you, why are you trying to talk them into it?
Well, because part of me doesn't think they should.
Okay.
But part of me has seen studies that say that if you have no connection with your father, all kinds of problems incur and reach out and find some common ground.
Hold on.
You're never going to be Daddy's little girl or anything, but you're going to have some kind of adult understanding.
Now, I want you to just hold on a second and listen to some of the things we have to say.
Debbie, pretending is damaging.
Mm-hmm.
Pretending that something is that isn't is damaging. So to go through the motions of a relationship when your kids clearly know who their dad is, sounds like you are having the harder time knowing who he is and being okay with that.
Yes.
See, I think the position that a mom like you could have, especially with the 15-year-old, I totally understand. I understand.
Welcome to mom's
world. Yeah.
You know.
And with that understanding, then they're affirmed that, yes, I'm right about this. I get this. Versus, I should be able to work through this and have some kind of connection with this guy. I should be able to find the 15-year-old positive thing that you have in common and work with that. I think that's very damaging, and especially damaging to your relationship with the 15-year-old. They need affirmation, confirmation. They need you to step up and say, yes, you guys get it right. And maybe I've been the one that's been a bit confused about this.
And you're going to make your kids second guess, just like you're second guessing. So, Jill, what were you going
to
say?
Well, I think it's important to validate their reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that they don't doubt. And then when you do that, they have room to say, oh, well, there is this one good thing about Dad. Maybe he's not all bad. But if you keep trying to talk them out of the bad parts because you think it's the right thing to do, then they're not going to see any good there. They're going to have to defend their position or be swayed and then be doubtful.
What do you think about that?
I think that is true. That I lean more toward looking for the positive.
Okay, that's okay for you to look for the positive, but don't cram it down their throat, see? That's what we're saying.
Right.
Let your 15-year-old be a 15-year-old.
Well, I do tell him that it's up to him and what he feels comfortable with.
Yeah, I wouldn't like hearing that from you. I would want to hear, I totally understand how you feel, and it's okay. You know, versus, well, it's up to you. You can make the decision.
Debbie, do you hear what Steve's saying right there? Do you hear the difference?
If I honestly said to him, I totally understand, then he would say, then I'm not going anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I'm not going to see him.
Okay, and so you're afraid of him not seeing him anymore. And you're creating kind of the double bind within this little boy.
Let your kids go.
Okay.
It's hard.
When you give them that freedom and they trust that you are trusting them, then later you can talk about how does it feel to not see your dad.
Yeah, and when they become older and more powerful, they may go back and spend time with him. It doesn't mean it's forever. But for right now, as Jill said, they really, really need you to step in here and help them see the difference between right and wrong. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more calls right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. One comment on the previous caller. Mylon, you made a comment about tolerating something at the break. I thought that was really important for people to hear that.
Well, by trying to encourage the kids to hang out with a person that is untrustworthy and unreliable, all the things she said he was, what you're modeling to your child is to tolerate the intolerable. Mm-hmm. And they will catch that. They will learn that I have to put up with stuff, and mm-hmm. it's okay, or it's a God thing to do. And it really isn't the right thing to do. It's better to model, if you're not healthy, I'm not going to hang with you.
Yeah.
And there needs to be a separation. As a matter of fact, God does with that with us. And that's what the gospel is all about. I'm sorry, we're in a very different camp. You're over here and I'm here, and I can't have a relationship with you until you do this. That is that you believe in Christ. And so he sets up a division between himself and others that are not healthy as well.
Right. Okay. I think that's so important. We don't really look at that all the time.
Don't hear sermons on that
very often.
No,
you don't. Sylvia, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, WORD is the station. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I have a situation with my 17-year-old daughter. She is...
Are you doing dishes? Sylvia, are you doing dishes?
I'm sorry, I was making dinner, but I will shut it off.
What are you frying up for us here?
I'm making my son's on gluten-free, casein-free diet, so I'm making these special chicken fingers for him.
I can hear the chicken fingers going.
Yeah.
I was almost done. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's okay.
It's very crackly.
My 17-year-old daughter, as I said, she's an addict, and she's also been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. She left our home about a week and a half ago and has refused to go in for treatment for her addiction. We don't know if we should do an intervention at this point or should we just let her hit her bottom. We haven't had contact with her except one time when she called. We think she's at a friend's house. We are not sure if she moved from there or not. So we're trying not to enable her.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we should do at this point.
Well, my thought, having worked in the adolescent units before, is it would probably be good if you found out where she was.
Okay.
Not to go to her and say, come move back home. But first of all, that gives her a message that you care about her and you love her. I know a woman who went through every drug crack house she could to find her daughter and that was enough of an intervention. But in your case it may be different than that. And so you want to let her know you care, you're pursuing her, you love her, and when you get with her you communicate that and tell her that if she wants help, you will get help for her. And then when she cries and says she needs to come home, she's gonna die, you say, no, you can get help. But you can't live with us like this.
We did that already. I did that already.
Okay.
Just plans on moving to Arizona with this particular girl. The girl's mm-hmm. at the end of the month. She's refusing any kind of help, and I said that to her on the phone. I said, when you're ready to go to rehab, we love you. You can give us a call, give your sponsor a call. She's in so much denial right now that
yeah.
she has a problem. My concern is that, you know, should we do the intervention before she decides to move to Arizona? Because I think that that's where she's headed.
Well, wouldn't you rather do that and be able to say that you've done everything you can versus yeah. wonder if it might have had some impact on her?
Yeah.
Sylvia, yeah, you know, she's still a minor.
I was just going to say
that. She's going to be 18 in about 2 weeks.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know, like, how do we go about... finding it. I don't even know this girl very well and her family. I don't even know this family. She just started hanging out with them.
I would drive over to the house. I would do whatever you could to find out. I would be talking to the parents of this girl. Okay. Because, you know, your daughter was probably telling them a very different story. You know, you could be the worst, most awful, abandoning parents that are alive. So, I would try to connect with the other adults that are enabling her to run away. And, you know, unfortunately, she's turning 18, but I would do everything I could, you know, in the next 2 weeks before she does turn 18.
Okay. So, should I contact the family first?
You know what, Sylvia? I can tell you something that if these parents didn't already contact you first, and they have a minor in their house, that tells you something about them.
Oh well, I know that it's bad news.
Okay, so
the locks, we even
Sylvia,
the keypad and everything. Just because
Sylvia,
I didn't want to get. Yes.
One of the things you may want to do is just contact the local police department and find out.
Already.
Okay,
I did that. They told me there was nothing they can do.
Okay. Well, then you probably have an 18-year-old that's going to be in 2 weeks. You're going to have an 18-year-old that's a prodigal.
Right.
And they're going to wander off, and it may be that someday, and we pray for our children and other people we know, that one day they'll come to their senses.
Yeah.
That, you know, we just keep the door open. We tell them that we would love to have them come home. Sylvia, what might your daughter be angry about? Is there anything that she might be reacting to within your home?
Yes, I am remarried. My ex-husband is an alcoholic. When just the fact that I divorced her father started the anger. And then from there, I got remarried. I had another child who's 6 years old now. And she's just angry at that. And then she got angrier because we put her in rehab last year for 4 months at the Karen Foundation. And that really set her off even more. So she's got a lot of unforgiveness and a lot of unresolved anger, and she's never dealt with the issue. She was 5 when I left her father.
Okay, well, let me give you another word besides forgiveness. Because as a 17-year-old, she probably doesn't really get forgiveness yet. She's still a kid. She has a lot of unresolved hurt, unresolved trauma that's been in her life that needs to be worked on.
All right, we'll take a break and come back for the second half of New Life Live. Glad you're with us here today.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, right over there in Romans 12. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. You know, sometimes we evaluate ourselves and we try to look like the perfect something, the perfect parent, the perfect mom, perfect dad. And we really need to be honest with ourselves and look at what of our behaviors are defensive, what are we doing to prevent having to accept some reality about ourselves. All of us struggle with this. It's just something that you have to continue to work on, to consider your ways, as it says in the Old Testament there. All right, how about over here to Michael from Whittier, California, KKLA. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
We're okay. What's going on in your life today?
Well, thank you for taking my call right
now. Sure, glad to.
Yeah, right now I have a question also, because I'm dealing right now with my a divorce I've been going through, and then and somewhere in the middle of the month. My wife is divorcing me, but I'm trying to figure out, because I talked to my pastor about this.
What did your pastor say?
I'm dealing with what the question is I'm dealing right now is my wife, with her, a lot of anger, bitterness, as he puts it. arrogance and pride, not to mention I'm dealing with a lot of materialistic things as well.
Yeah. What does he tell you about your part in the difficulty there in marriage? What's he saying?
Well, because I told him that we've been going through a lot for quite a while, you know, off and on right now, and I'm going through a lot right now. The worst thing that ever happened to us was my daughter passed away about 2 years on Christmas morning.
2 years ago.
Mm. Yeah.
How did she die?
Cancer. It's called angiosarcoma. It's very rare. Mm.
How old is was she?
28, and she left me with 2 grandchildren.
Hmm.
Mm, and that's another problem because apparently my son-in-law doesn't really care too much for me, so he's keeping my grandchildren away from me as well. So, okay.
Seeing anything in your own behavior that would cause that and cause your wife to not want to be with you?
Well, the thing is with her situation is with me is we guess lack of communication, but she was also talking about other things that basically try to hold a job. I was doing the best I can, but I had physical problems before, and I'm getting better.
All right. So what's the question for us? What is your question for us?
Well, the question is, how do I deal with something like this? Because I'm also dealing with a situation. My 2 girls are going through a lot of this. And I was listening to some of the other things that some of these other ladies and guys were giving the answers to some of the questions, because I was kind of like a parent as well, trying to encourage my daughter, especially my youngest one, to forgive her mom and love her because she has a lot of bitterness towards her mom.
Yeah, well,
I'm trying to do.
Okay, so let's hear from Mylon and Jill about what Michael could do in a tough situation like this.
Well, so your question is about your other children. One of the things that we were talking about to a previous caller about is really being able to kind of hear the pain instead of like pushing your kids to forgive and, you know, to forgive their mom, to really hear, okay, what hurt them? Why did they get to this point of being so upset? But to really hear them without trying to convince them otherwise, and just being there with them in that and not feeling like you have to fix it or change it. And also to kind of be clear about your own part. I mean, there's a lot going on for you that seems like maybe you're not fully aware of, because you have lots of people that aren't wanting to be around you as well. And so, again, even if you've only done 10% of the harm to this marriage, what's that 10%? And to even own that with the kids that you are involved with.
You know, Michael, when my marriage blew up, it was hard for me to see that I had contributed to the problem. It was very difficult. But when I got involved in counseling, then I was able to see that, you know, some of my avoiding stuff and had really, really set this thing up. Now, if you're not going to counseling, then you're not starting to see those kinds of things, and it's going to limit the amount of influence you're going to have on your son-in-law to be with those kids and any potential that you could bring restoration to your marriage. Your working on yourself is really the best option for anything, for both the kids and for her.
Yeah, well, I've been doing, like I said, well, I've been to counseling with my wife before.
No, I'm talking about now. I'm talking about...
I've been doing all this stuff.
Okay, I'm talking about not counseling with her, but I'm talking about you getting some help for you to be sure you eliminate any of those things that would cause a son-in-law to not want his children to be with you.
Oh, no, I'm already getting counseling.
But okay.
The reason why my son-in-law doesn't care too much for me, because it's a big thing that my younger brother goes and he talks to other people about the family.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
So my daughter and I were very, very close, and he talked to my son-in-law about me.
Mm.
And the thing is, my son-in-law didn't like the idea that my daughter and I were very close, our father and daughter thing, that we always talk to each other like every day. And
but
stuff.
See, now you've introduced a third person that isn't supportive and connected to you. And so, Mylon, your take on this?
Well, Michael, I'm even wondering how depressed you are. Because
my other family members are the ones that also know how my younger brother is, and he never did care too much for me because I used to share with him about God and everything else.
Okay, well, I'm wondering how depressed you are, Michael. Just that word depression. Because sometimes people who are depressed get into sort of a downward spiral. They can get into a funk where they lack strength. And, you know, they can struggle finding jobs. They can struggle being assertive. They can struggle, you know, extending themselves out into the world. And it sounds a bit to me also as though you're kind of seeing yourself like a victim here. And or that the family is victimizing you and you're letting yourself be. Where's the Michael that pushes back? You know, where's the Michael that is strong and has the ability to say, you know, I'm sorry, that's not accurate or that's not true, or be able to not get pushed around by a family system? Do you feel like the family's piling on you?
I know what you're saying.
Do you think there's some truth to that?
No, well, some of it, but not really, because, like I said, I am basically pretty strong in some things. The thing is, like I said, I've been dealing with trying to, like I said, talk to my son-in-law and see what's, you know. But I haven't talked to him lately. The last time I've seen of him and my grandchildren, I think, was in November.
Something's broken in this family system, yeah. And Steve's right, Michael. The only thing you can do is work on you to find out that part that you can choose to change to make your relationships better, or know when to walk away from them and to hold yourself at bay.
And at the very least, I would think you might have depression from your daughter dying.
Sure.
And it sounds like she was someone that you were close with. And so that is a huge loss if you're not really close to a lot of other people in your family.
Yeah. Huge.
So it makes sense why kind of we're feeling this from you.
So I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice. I hope that will provide some guidance and comfort for you. And, well, I'll tell you, it is hard when everybody's kind of beating up on you to say, okay, I need to make some changes. That's a pretty tough place to be.
Oh, there's
Let's
a lot
go
of
to
losses here.
Judy from Los Angeles, California. Judy, how are you?
Hi, is this, I've been waiting for so long, I kind of was doing something else.
What show is this? Where am I?
This is Chuck Swindoll's program. No, this is New Life, Steve Arterburn, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and Mylon Yurkovich.
No, I'm very sorry. I got to get my act together now. It's been about an hour and 40 minutes.
That's all right.
Oh, Judy.
Well, thanks for holding on.
Thank you.
People to see and people to talk to.
Yeah, how could we help?
I've been a widow for about 9 years and am so blessed to have, as of January, a wonderful Christian man fall in love with me and so forth. He has a daughter who is in her 40s, upper 40s, who is bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one that got us together. I mean, I really believe the Lord did, but she was the vehicle. She was a friend of mine for several months before her mom and his wife, one and the same, died.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, she said, you know, I'd like you to meet my dad.
Okay.
And so we've been dating and seeing a lot of each other since January.
Everything sounds great so far.
Excuse me?
Everything sounds great so far.
Yeah, it really, I really do feel like I'm blessed.
What's the problem?
I'm 65 and he's 70 and we feel like we're 18, you know?
Yeah, okay, well, hold on. We'll hear what the problem is right after this break, if that's okay with you. All right. We'll be right back with more of New Life Live. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn. We're talking with Judy, who has found that she's 65, found a 70-year-old man through the help of God and a 40-year-old daughter, his. But what's the problem?
Well, when she saw her father's quick affection for me after a couple of weeks or even sooner, she turned against me.
Hmm.
bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
She's bipolar, and she even had made a statement before she turned against me that she would like me to be her mom, you know, so to speak.
Yeah.
And his wife, who passed away, was also bipolar. I mean, not that that has a lot to do with anything now, but you can. He's the type of man that is very compassionate and merciful and a very dedicated Christian man. He went through a lot with the former marriage and stuck it out, so to speak. And
well, let me tell you something that happens sometimes, and it may be true for you, but it might not be.
Yeah, okay.
And then we'll hear from Milo and Jill. She lost her mother and was hurting.
Right.
She met you, and she had this thought, and it might not have been a conscious thought, that you would make everything better, that you would help her feel better about the loss of her. She wouldn't even miss her mother because you would be there, and you would be the new mother. Well, everything worked out just like that, except for one thing. You didn't make her feel better. You didn't fix her heart, because you couldn't do that. And so when reality set in that you weren't going to fix everything just by your presence, then she's angry and she turns against you. It happens all the time. Very common. Now, I don't know if that's what happened in this case, but it is one scenario where you become idealized, and then when the reality of the situation hits, there's rejection.
Mm-hmm.
How long ago did her mother pass away?
She passed away in August, but we had met in May, and she and I then were friends, actually from the time we met.
Okay, so it hasn't...
A lot with me, and then her mother died, you know, 6 months later or whatever that would be.
Okay, so her mom hasn't yet been gone a year?
Right.
Okay, and so that's another issue.
Yes.
Here, you see, because the husband, and is this girl married, this 46-year-old person, is she married?
She was. It didn't work out, I think, a lot because of the bipolar situation.
Was she living at home?
No, she's in a state, not in a hospital, but in a residence for disabled, you know, mentally.
Okay. Well, I think what Steve said a few minutes ago is really important, you know, because you could have been a quick fix to her.
Mm-hmm.
You sound like a lovely lady, and then all of a sudden reality sets in. But most importantly, you took the affections, perhaps, of her father away from her.
She wasn't counting on that.
She wasn't counting on that part, you know, and then it just takes a distraction. And then all of a sudden, with her instabilities, that just feels like an avalanche to her. And then I don't blame you for feeling uncertain and afraid. I think the thing that's the most important, and I'd like to hear Jill, is just to simply not go to the bank on every deposit they give you. Just don't go to the bank.
Right, right.
Don't make the deposit on the last thing they said, because what they said today may be different than what they say tomorrow.
Right.
Don't go to
right.
the bank with everything you hear. Don't go too high with it, and don't go
right.
too low with it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Jill, you have a thought?
Right. Well, and with her issues, probably some emotional immaturity here in processing all of this. So mm-hmm. she probably didn't think through everything. And again, I agree with the idea that she wasn't counting on her dad really falling for you. So, and it didn't make her feel better. In fact, she probably feels really jealous. And so she
was. I know. She's a lot better now. She's turned toward me now.
Okay. But see, so she's still having to contend with the loss of her mom. And now, in some way, she betrayed her mom because she set you up with her dad, and dad's gone after you. So what does that say about her mom and dad's relationship that he could so quickly turn? Okay. Also, though, Judy, I would caution you because of the fact that his affection turned toward you so quickly. He's mm-hmm. a man that's hurting. He's lost mm-hmm. his wife.
Yeah.
Regardless of the state of their marriage, they were married. And so a lot of people want to just stop the pain. So you may be kind of that plug to stop his pain.
Yep.
And the grieving is still yet to come down the road for him.
Judy, it is very difficult to see yourself as a drug. But really, you are providing him with medication,
mm-hmm.
and what you want is you want love from him, a true love, not just to be a source of relief. So all I'm saying is you just need to really take your time. And just as she has, you said she's kind of come around to you again, she's bipolar. So there's a good chance that that's not going to last. And
right,
part of
I'm aware of that.
Part of the package is accepting that reality and then to accept her as for who she is and not really expect a lot from her, especially don't expect consistency. That's the main thing.
Go slow.
Yeah, I'm glad that you called. I'll send you How We Love, and maybe it will show a bit of how you were attracted to this man and some of the things that might have gone on in the relationship with his wife. Because it is, like you say, Jill, it is interesting, to say the least, that he turned so quickly to someone else and was able to incorporate her into his life. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we would love to help you. And just before Mylan shares some scripture with us here, I want to invite you to call us if you need help. Also, if you can help us, we are only here because of you and the gifts that you... You know, last month we had 800 new supporters. Many of them had listened to the program for a very, very long time and had just never thought, pick up the phone and call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Could you be one of the 800 for this month? Could you be that person that fills in for someone who went on vacation and you're going to be there because they're not? I hope and pray that if God moves in your life, if he nudges you, that you'll respond to that movement and that nudge and support this program, because we want to stay here and be here for you when you need us. Mylan, share some scripture with us here.
A lot of our calls today have been very distressing.
Yes.
Life is distressing. Life's hard. So this is a wonderful passage that Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. You know, we have a citizenship that isn't here. A friend of mine the other day said, I have dual citizenship. I said, I didn't know that. He goes, yeah, I have my U.S. passport, and I'm also a citizen of heaven. And, you know, I said, that's a great way to phrase that.
Yeah.
You know, I realize I can't put all my eggs in this basket right here. There's going to be a lot of stress here. Some situations I'll never have great answers for.
Yeah. Well, hope you've got your passport to heaven. We've got ours. And if you question whether or not you're going to be in heaven with the Lord, we could help you with that if you just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're also there to help find a resource. There's a counseling network. Our New Life Weekend, one of the most powerful things that we do, and then the Every Man's Battle Workshop. Based on Every Man's Battle, about 3 million books in the series, almost 4 million. Then we have Restore, Hope for a Woman's Heart. That'll be in the fall. Now, I want to, anybody that joins Club New Life, you know we got those 7 great books that we'll say thank you with. But also, if you have a gift of any amount during August, I'll send you a CD from our Help and Hope series. It's the best of Dr. Amen. And it's a collection of all of the advice that he's given on phone calls here at New Life Live. So call, gift of any amount, I'll send that to you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number. Thanks, Dr. Jill. Thanks, Mylan. And thanks to all of you who are with us every day. We love you. We care about you. And we look forward to seeing you here next time on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.